Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the radio podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and on the podcast this month, we'll have all the latest news from the business, and we'll take a look at activities on the F-35 programme across the group. Once again, Charles Woodburn is on his travels, and this time we find him at the headquarters of the ink business in Washington. Charles, hello again. How are you?
Hi, Tim. Very well, thanks.
And we're delighted to say that also joining Charles in Arlington is Jerry DeMuro, President and CEO of BAE Systems, Inc. Jerry, welcome to you.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be with you again.
Now, we'll talk a little bit more about the focus of this trip to the US in just a moment, Charles. But first, I understand since we last spoke, there's been some good news on the deal with Qatar. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Tim. So the contract with the government of Qatar for 24 Typhoon and 9 Hawk trainers became effective once we received the down payment, which occurred just a couple of weeks ago. So that was great news for the business.
Now, we spoke about the half-year results on the last podcast, of course. You were about to embark on a series of investor roadshows. How did they go, Charles?
Things like the wins that we'd had were seen as very good, supporting the long-term future of the business. And some of the operational issues that we obviously had to explain and cover that off with the shareholders. And it really just underlines the priorities that we're focusing on around, you know, operational excellence, competitiveness and technology. And I think they all understood the actions that we're taking and the need to make sure that the operational issues that we saw in the first half, that we don't repeat them.
And moving on and moving up to date, as I mentioned, you're in Washington, D.C. as we speak. What's the focus then of this current trip to the U.S.?
Last week, we had the PLC board meeting in San Diego, which was a great visit. But we came back to the U.S. here in Washington to have the Inc. board meeting. And also, while we're here, we're doing the Q3 CBR meetings and the IBB2 sessions, where we really start to look hard at the long-term, the five-year plan for the Inc. business. The U.S. represents over 40% of the group's revenues, so it's a very, very important part of the overall group performance.
And at the mention then of the Inc. business, let me bring Jerry DeMuro into the proceedings. Jerry, I understand you've had a couple of great wins in the Inc. business recently. What can you tell us about those?
Well, we've had a number of successes over the last couple of months. We were selected by the United States Marine Corps to provide its new class of amphibious combat vehicles, the ACV program. It's a multi-billion-dollar program. The U.S. Army just awarded us another production lot on its self-propelled howitzer, and we've had a series of other wins, including some good growth in our APKWS system and precision munitions. So it's a challenging time as we try and scale the business and continue to focus on the three priorities that Charles has talked about.
And talking of the future, what can you tell us about the opportunities you're particularly looking forward to for the Inc. business?
Well, 2019, we'll be continuing the growth mode in our whole electronic systems portfolio, the F-35, and a number of other electronic warfare suites that we do for fast jets will be a key part of that growth. Combat vehicles, we're in the midst of moving from about 12 combat vehicles a month to, by 2022, 2023, up to something in the 45 to 50 range and the possibility of going even higher. So we have quite a bit of work to do to prepare for that growth and to execute on the backlog that we have.
Okay, Jerry and Charles, for the moment, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll be looking into BAE Systems' role in the world's biggest defense program.
Our Conversation.
So, I mentioned we'd be looking at the world's biggest defense program, and Charles, I refer, of course, to the F-35. Can you give us an overview of that program and also of BAE Systems' role?
Absolutely, Tim. The F-35 is a stealthy multi-role attack aircraft, and it's a truly global program. It's led by the US. Lockheed Martin is the prime. The actual number of jets is around 3,000. And the total buy of that 3,000 aircraft will be, you know, somewhere between $400 and $500 billion. When you buy an aircraft, the lifetime sustainment of the aircraft is typically 2 times the purchase price. So if you add all those numbers up, I mean, they do look like telephone numbers, but you end up with a number of somewhere between $1.2 and $1.5 trillion over the whole course of the program, which is why people quite rightly say it is the world's largest defense program, and as such, represents a huge opportunity for BAE Systems. we have about close to 15% of every F-35 that's built is built by BAE. It's very important that we position ourselves well now on the build phase and going into the sustainment phase, that we win a position there and make sure that we secure that revenue stream for, frankly, decades to come.
And, Jerry, what is the Inc. business's involvement in the F-35 program?
Primarily, we're known for the electronic warfare suite, which includes radar warning, targeting support, helps to protect the aircraft, detect and defeat surface and airborne threats so that the pilot has full situational awareness and can respond to those threats. But we also provide the active interceptor system. So think about the stick that you might see in a fighter jet that helps to maneuver that aircraft. And as well, we do some of the mission computers that are used on the aircraft. And then the third piece is really related to the test and logistics support of the aircraft, and we do that jointly with the UK team.
Well, we're going to find out a bit more now about that work being done by the electronic systems sector. Joining us on the line from Nashua are Deb Norton, Vice President of F-35 Solutions, and Lisa O'Coin, Vice President of Engineering. Deb, let me start with you. Welcome to the program. What is the next major milestone?
Focus has shifted to ensuring new capabilities are inserted to protect the warfighter by countering the modern threats. BAE is working with our customers to insert these new capabilities. A contract award is expected in the fourth quarter, about $300 million, to allow those capabilities to be inserted over the next 3 to 5 years. Shifting from the development, we also have a couple critical milestones on the production side. A key element of achieving the required ramp to rate, going from 11 systems a month, we have currently achieved to well over 20 systems a month over the next 5 years. To meet this demand, BAE Systems has invested over $100 million to increase our manufacturing capability in the Nashua, New Hampshire area. And finally, the last major milestone is continuously to improve the readiness to our warfighter. Aircraft availability is a critical milestone, and we continue to support that.
Okay, thank you, Deb. Let me bring Lisa O'Coin in now. Lisa, how does Electronic Systems work collaboratively then with the rest of BAE Systems' F-35 suppliers?
So as Jerry pointed out, at Electronic Systems, we're working collaboratively and closely with BAE Systems in the UK, specifically the Air Sector Group, Australia, and the Intelligence and Security Sector within Inc. to position BAE as the leading sustainment provider for the F-35 platform. As a team, what we've done is we've established F-35 support provider strategies that provide value-added solutions to deliver improved F-35 readiness at reduced lifecycle costs. This collaboration has resulted in the award of two game-changing performance-based logistics programs, one in electronic systems for electronic warfare and the second in the UK within the air sector.
Okay, well, Lisa O'Coin and Deb Norton, thanks very much indeed for joining us. Now, as Charles mentioned, Air Sector Colleagues also makes a significant contribution to the global F-35 program around the world. Joining us now on the podcast are Andrea Thompson, Senior Vice President, US Programs, and Glyn Jones, Development Director. Welcome to you both. Glyn, let me come to you first. A hugely significant milestone recently then for the UK with its first ever takeoff and landing on the Queen Elizabeth carrier. What was BAE Systems' involvement in that?
Hello, Tim. I'm delighted to say that, you know, our involvement in this huge milestone has actually been very significant. We've been literally taking a leadership role, you know, on the integration of, you know, what is the largest and most capable warship in British history, along with the F-35B. And we have 9 engineers on board the ship at this moment in time, performing a number of very key roles. You know, we're playing quite a significant part on this major activity out in the Western Atlantic.
And Jerry, I know that the Inc. team was also involved in the recent aircraft carrier trials. Can you tell us a bit about your team's role?
Well, Tim, our INS sector has been supporting flight tests for the F-35 for a number of years. So we deployed some people from Pax River U.S. Naval Air Station to go up and support that. It included test engineers as well as a test pilot.
Well, let's talk to Andrea Thompson. Now, Andrea, we've spoken before about the global nature of the program. What would you say the collaboration with your U.S. and Australian colleagues has brought to the project? Has it brought a real edge to it?
What I think it delivers is the power of being able to leverage off the skills that each of us bring to the program, because it is a different mindset and a different product and a different service that we each bring. But when you bring that together, you then can deliver a system back to your customer. And we don't just talk about tactically, what can we do together? But we're now at the point of really just saying, you know, longer term, where's this program going? How can we bring value to the customer out in, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 year time period? And I think if we weren't doing that together and we were just left as our own individual business, I think we'd miss a lot of the power of that general thinking and general discussion that we have.
Andrea Thompson and Glyn Jones there. Thanks very much indeed to both of you. Good to have you on the podcast today. Coming up next, we'll be talking to one of the team in Australia about their involvement in the F-35 programme.
Our conversation.
Welcome now then to Andrew Chapman, F-35 campaign manager. Andrew, hello, welcome to the programme. Tell us about the role the Australian business is playing on the F-35 programme.
Here in Australia, BAE Systems has been quite successful in a number of regional assignments in Asia Pacific, specifically the airframe maintenance, repair, overhaul and upgrade, the first tier one components maintenance, 64 of the 65 high reliability driver components. We've been successful in being assigned, and also the regional warehouse for Asia Pacific will be located here in Australia.
And what key milestones are you working towards for the end of the year and into 2019?
The biggest milestone for us and the customer is the aircraft, actually, the first two aircraft start arrive in December this year. So there's a lot of excitement around that for obvious reasons. And to support that, the first thing that we need to do is to actually stand up the regional airframe depot. So the initial depot capability, the timeline that we're looking for that is in March 2019. And we've got a number of technicians that are actually over in Fort Worth training at the moment, and they return in November. So there's a lot of work going on down here in Australia to make sure that we're ready for the arrival of those aircraft and the depot support that will be required.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. That was Andrew Chapman, F-35 campaign manager, on the line from Australia. Now, Charles is still with us. Charles, great examples of collaboration there. How do you think the experience you're bringing to the programme from across the group is really making a difference?
I think you could not look for a better example than you have here. You know, we're part of the Aircraft Carrier Alliance, so we've had a big role in building this flagship. And that knowledge of the F-35 and the carrier program, I think, has put us into a unique position. And it may be worth just reflecting on the fact that last year, one of the chairman's awards, one of the great nominees that we had in last year's awards, was the what we call the F-35 Lightning Inbound Simulator. And that was a sort of a dual platform simulator where we were able to simulate the environment of an F-35 landing on the carrier and do that integration in a completely simulated environment. But what it does mean is, whilst the first flight trials may have just happened on F-35, there's been simulated flight trials, literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of simulated landings and takeoffs of the F-35 platform on the Queen Elizabeth carrier. And that's all been done in the simulated environment, which means that it obviously massively de-risks those first few flight trials. You can try it in different sea states, different weather conditions. So I would say that our unique position of being both involved in the platform of the aircraft carrier, but also on the F-35 program, that is real collaboration at work across the group. And obviously, we're keen to see more of those opportunities where we can bring the full expertise of the group to bear on a problem like that and provide a key competitive advantage to our customers.
Charles, thank you very much indeed for that. A really great insight, I think you'll agree, into the work going on around the world to support the F-35 programme. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Coming up next, your questions for Charles and Jerry. Now, every month, of course, we give you the chance to speak directly to Charles. And this month, Jerry is also going to join in with him. Our first question comes from Ben Wilberforce Ritchie, an audit manager at the UK head office. Ben, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Over to you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here. In my 9 months at the company so far, collaboration has been the one aspect of BAE Systems which every business unit and function feels it needs to develop. How can each of us best play our part in developing the company culture to nurture more collaborative and supportive working practices?
Right, who'd like to go first on that, Charles or Jerry?
Well, Ben, I think that's a great question, but I was going to hand over to Jerry to go first.
Thanks, Charles. I appreciate that.
Ben, this is collaboration at work.
I think actually it is an excellent question. You know, the whole key to collaboration is to leverage the great capabilities we have across the breadth of the corporation, and individually, if we keep an open mind to where we can best leverage corporate resources to help advance a business issue or a culture issue, I think that's the start of it. But I would also, you know, allude to the kinds of major program collaborations that we see on the F-35, C-5000. There's a host of these things, and I see a real positive momentum on a number of other smaller initiatives. But I think the backbone is in some of the councils that we have established to share best practices across program management, manufacturing, business development.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think we all get our best results when we're part of a highly capable team. And I think it's just worth remembering that that team does not have to be the people who are geographically sitting around you. I mean, that team can be a virtual team now of people from across the business, around the world, bringing all of our best expertise and capabilities to bear on a difficult and challenging customer problem or campaign or so on and so forth. But I think we're getting better at this, but I think there's a lot more we can do.
I would encourage you to reach out. You're not in this alone. Leverage the entire team.
All right, thank you for those responses, and thanks again to Ben for that question. Next up, we have a question from Amber Messersmith from the Recruitment, Marketing and Workforce Analytics team for Inc. Amber, thank you for joining us today. What's your question, please, for Charles and Jerry?
Hi, thanks so much. It's great to be with you. My question is, to remain competitive in a rapidly changing world, we know that investing in human capital is critical to acquire and to maintain the talent we need to meet our customer demands. I wanted to ask you both, how are we building and maintaining a global workforce that's diverse and ready for future challenges and opportunities?
Amber, it's a great question. Obviously, you can have the best capital equipment in the world, the best facilities, but ultimately, a great business comes down to having great people. It is our most precious resource. We mentioned earlier in the podcast that Inc. is now back in a period of growth. In order to do that successfully, we need more and better talent. We need to operate more innovatively. And so strategic workforce planning, training of the existing workforce, helping to develop through external training programs, partnerships with community colleges, vocational schools are all part of that strategic workforce planning, which is now, over the last several years, been fully integrated into our integrated business planning process.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, I think we all agree that we have to attract and keep the best people. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the people that drive our business. And I think a very important part of that is creating a workplace where everyone feels they can do their best at work. So that's about, you know, creating an inclusive culture where, you know, every employee knows that their contribution is valued and everyone feels accountable to our customers. So I think that's very important for all of us. It's around investing in our people, ensuring they've got the right development to maintain and build their skills. And on top of that, ensuring that we have the right business tools and ways of working to be as efficient as we possibly can.
Two very comprehensive answers, I thought. Amber, do they answer your question?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I agree that talent is key, and so is our culture. So thank you very much.
Okay, Charles, Jerry, thank you for those answers. We'll have more chances for you to speak with Charles on our next podcast. So do get in touch with a question or a comment. Email to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. Well, that's very nearly it for this podcast, but let's get a few final thoughts. What else are the executive committee focusing on in the coming months then?
Well, in the immediate few weeks here, we will be finalising objectives for 2019 in preparation for the board strategy day early November, where we agree all of those.
I would add one other thing, though. Within the businesses, we are focused like a laser on delivering here at the end of the year our business plan for our customers and our shareholders.
You also, I believe, have the How We Work survey running at the moment. What's the purpose of that, Charles?
The survey is going to be run across all markets to understand, you know, what it's like to work here, whatever job you're doing and wherever you work in the world. And obviously what we're hoping to get from that is, you know, an understanding of how people work today and what we can do better. Jerry, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, Charles, as you said, we'll be releasing that survey here in the States in just a couple of weeks. I think it's absolutely critical that we benchmark where we are. You know, we talk about an inclusive environment where everyone is valued, they feel they can do their best work, where we're agile, we're focused on continuous improvement, and we're accountable. So I think it'll be important to benchmark that.
I would encourage everyone to take part. I mean, one of the things that we did as an EC is we went through the questions. We tried to make sure that they were pretty straightforward. It shouldn't take very much time. And every answer, frankly, counts in that. So it's important that we get a good representative sample. So please do take the time when the survey gets opened in your part of the world that you do go in and fill in those. We will be reporting the results back in terms of, you know, how people go about their work and then the things that we need to do to make it better.
Charles, thanks very much indeed for joining us. And Jerry, next time you're over in the UK, please do join us in the studio. It'd be great to see you. And we do make a decent cup of tea here most of the time.
Tim, since I'm actually more of a tea drinker than a coffee drinker, I would appreciate that. I look forward to the opportunity.
Likewise. That's it for this month. We'll be back in November with more news from across the BAE Systems community. For now, though, from me, Tim Smith, Jerry DeMuro, and of course from Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our conversation, back next month.